Did you see the Sarah Carter article, by the way?
No.
I'm recording, by the way. But did you see the Sarah Carter article where she says Schiff blocks release of declassified Russia probe transcripts, keeping Americans in the dark? I don't know if you've heard about the fact that Schiff is he's not turning over the documents from all the interviews, the private testimonies that he had. Let me read you the first paragraph.
Of course. This is very interesting, actually.
Yeah, maybe you want to say something like a minute or two about
it.
Says the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Representative Adam Schiff, is keeping the truth from the American people. He doesn't want anyone beyond those in Congress and the intelligence community to have access to the closed door transcripts of witnesses that have been already declassified regarding the FBI's Russia probe. Frustration is mounting against Schiff, and so is patience among those in the administration, congressional lawmakers, and intelligence community who believe the American people have a right to see for themselves the testimony given by 53 witnesses behind closed doors during congressional investigations into the FBI's questionable actions and malfeasance during its investigation. So I guess basically Schiff is just stonewalling.
He's stonewalling
Congress and the American people. He doesn't want people to get to the bottom of those closed door testimonies.
He's stonewalling, and he's shielding, of course, the FBI, because that's clearly what this is all about, I would have said. But I'm going to make a guess. He's also shielding himself, because, of course, a lot of these people who we're talking about, these 54 people, I'm going to make a guess that probably Democrats, that people like, well, Glenn Simpson, I'm sure, is one. We've had some of Glenn Simpson's testimony, but I am sure there's all sorts of other things there which are very interesting. Now, the fact is that these are declassified, which begs the question of whether at some point someone will just order them released. And what I mean by someone, I mean Donald Trump. I would have thought that he has the right to do that. So he can just order that these things will be released and just do it. And that will be very interesting. And it'll be interesting to see what exactly it is that Schiff is trying to conceal. But what it tells me is, once again, Schiff, there is collusion. The collusion is between Adam Schiff and people within the intelligence community and the FBI, and also people within the Glenn Simpson, DNC, all those sort of people who are clearly the people who were involved in providing a lot of the information in Russiagate. Always bear in mind that, of course, lying, telling false things to Congress is a criminal offence. If people have said untrue things to Congress in all that testimony, and it is then made public, that could expose them to prosecution.
It's a criminal offense depending on what side, what team you're playing on. It's not a criminal offense if you're Clapper. It's a criminal offense if you're Flynn or Roger Stone. Actually, let me read you some of the people who, the testimonies that Schiff is holding back from the same Sarah Carter article. Some of the testimony being kept from the public includes former Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, longtime Trump friend, Roger Stone, as well as former Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta.
There's also
testimony of former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCain.
Wow.
And Perkins Coie lawyers Michael Sussman, a former DOJ lawyer who passed along alleged details about Russian interference to former FBI General Counsel James Baker. Moreover, there is Don Jr.'s testimony, former White House aide Hope Hicks and Mark Elias, and chairman who was the Clinton campaign's general counsel that hired the embattled research firm Fusion GPS to investigate the debunked theory that Trump conspired with Russia. So those are some of the people.
Well, that's all very interesting. And can I just add that all seems to circle around one topic, which is the Steele dossier. So I wonder whether it's the Steele dossier that is causing a lot of the trouble, and whether a lot of this testimony is about that dossier. Can I just add one important point? That, of course, Schiff gave complete credence to the Steele dossier. I can very well remember when he read large extracts of it into the congressional record. He did this in public, And of course, he asked all sorts of leading questions of people like Comey, which seemed to be based on it. So I'm going to make a guess that, as I said, he's personally embarrassed by all of this. He's personally embarrassed by some of the questions he asked to these people, and that it is, in fact, relating to the Steele dossier. I doubt he can keep doing this for much longer, actually.
Yeah. All right. So a couple of other things that we can discuss very quickly. It looks like Hillary Clinton is going to endorse Joe Biden. Biden's having some sort of town hall on women's empowerment or something like that, virtual town hall. And Hillary Clinton tweeted out a little hint about who the surprise guest will be at Joe Biden's 3 p.m. Eastern time town hall today. He was saying there's going to be a surprise guest, and Hillary Clinton tweeted that out with a picture of herself, Barack Obama, and Biden all hugging and laughing at the photographer. And then Biden tweeted a reply to her, which says, "I'm with her," twitter.com/Hillary Clinton. So, I mean, Bernie got in line. Pelosi endorsed Biden yesterday as well. And now it looks like Hillary Clinton's going to endorse him. Alexandra, the Democrats are up to something, because Biden can barely string together three words.
Well, he
did a live stream. I don't know if you saw the video. He did a live stream yesterday, and he didn't even speak. His wife was the one speaking pretty much throughout the whole thing. And I mean, Biden just looked like he was – I mean, it literally looked like Weekend at Bernie's. You know, like literally the corpse sitting there, and, you know, everyone's just trying to hold him up. I mean, it was awful. It was absolutely awful. And they're up to something. There's no doubt about
it. Well, they clearly are. So they wheel out the Wicked Witch of the West, which is to say Hillary Clinton, to appear on his show, which will, of course, bring her together. And with him, so one wonders who is actually endorsing whom. Is Hillary Clinton going to be endorsing Biden, or is Biden who's going to be endorsing Hillary Clinton? Bearing in mind that, we did a program on this. There are all kinds of problems accumulating around the Biden campaign, which I suspect are going to start getting much worse. So we'll see what this is all about. It all sounds very interesting to me. I have to say, it's surprising that this has taken as long as it has done, that she's delayed, she's held back as long as this. So
you know what this is? This is a bait and switch. This is a bait and switch. They're going to line up behind Biden. And of course, Hillary Clinton is going to line up behind Biden. Now she's back in the political arena. And then maybe a month or two down the line, Biden's not going to be able to go on any longer. And they're just going to switch it right over to Hillary Clinton. That's what I think. I think they're setting up a bait and switch here.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, nothing is past these people. It's exactly in character. And of course, this is the perfect vehicle for getting Hillary Clinton back into the public eye. You would have thought that if she wanted to endorse him, she could just endorse him. Was it necessary to bring her on in this fashion? I mean, why give her all this kind of publicity? I would have thought, if I was Joe Biden, I would actually want to distance myself from the Wicked Witch of the West. I wouldn't want her appearing on my programs. I would keep a distance from her. But of course, that's not what's happening, and that is very suggestive.
Yeah, it's a bait and switch. So we have, I mentioned Bernie briefly because Bernie folded into line as we expected, and as we said in many programs. But I want you to talk about real briefly the Bernie Sanders of the UK, i.e. Jeremy Corbyn, and some stuff that has been happening with the Labour Party. We did a video on Labour Party's new leadership, but there were some investigations going on inside the Labour Party, and we now have the results of those investigations. Am I framing it properly?
You're framing it exactly correct. There was a huge investigation carried out by the Labour Party itself, by some people within the Labour Party, by its sort of compliance unit, who were looking into how the Labour Party dealt with various allegations that had complaints that had been brought against the Labour Party or people within the Labour Party who had been engaged in or who had been alleged to have been engaged in anti-Semitic activity. And what these people discovered as they went deeper and deeper into it was that there was within the headquarters of the Labour Party, or perhaps I should correct that and say that the headquarters of the Labour Party throughout the time when Jeremy Corbyn was leader, was actively working against him. And when I say actively working against him, there's now vast mountains of emails and WhatsApp messages. And one wonders how these people got hold of some of those WhatsApp messages, in which people within the Labour Party who are in the headquarters say the most terrible things about Jeremy Corbyn. They say the most terrible things about Jeremy Corbyn's supporters. They say that they were actively working towards arranging for the Labour Party to lose the 2017 election. That's the election Jeremy Corbyn almost won. It shows a deeply factional and hostile headquarters to the party's leader. It seems that anybody who was involved in supporting Jeremy Corbyn could face all kinds of investigations. And it also turns out that this particular group of people within the Labour Party's headquarters were actually obstructing in some form, maybe not intentionally, but anyway, they weren't acting on complaints from Jeremy Corbyn asking him to investigate people who were being complained about for having said anti-Semitic things. So it looks like Jeremy Corbyn had his own DNC problem. He had people within the Labour Party headquarters conspiring to bring him down, even after he became leader of the Labour Party, in exactly the same way that Bernie Sanders had problems with the DNC. And that does not surprise me at all, because when you look at who these people are, they are exactly the same sort of people as you find in the DNC. They are the so-called Blairites. Blair, of course, Tony Blair was very, very close to Bill Clinton. They were absolutely close friends and political allies, and the political culture is identical in exactly the same way, and you see the same sort of machine politics at work within the Labour Party as you see within the Democratic Party, with the Clintonites in control of the DNC and the Blairites in control of the Labour Party, and both of them working to stop people like Bernie Sanders and Jeremy Corbyn, who are on the left of the party and who these people within the respective machines see as a threat. So it's quite extraordinary, and it's identical, and it's extremely sinister.
Would it be a fair analogy to say that Tony Blair is very much the Hillary Clinton of the UK? I mean, just a nasty, if Hillary Clinton is just a nasty, corrupt individual, Blair is pretty much the same thing for the UK. I mean, he's just a nasty guy.
Yeah,
I mean, very powerful, you know, plays in the shadows, works in the shadows. God knows how many wars and how much suffering he's caused around the world.
I agree. And I'm going to say something.
And that's what he seems to me. He's like the Hillary Clinton or the Clinton machine of the UK.
And there's another parallel also, which is that just as Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton have made themselves immensely rich through their foundation, Tony Blair has managed to do exactly the same thing since he was prime minister.
Like a consulting.
Exactly, consulting firm and all that, which has made him into a multimillionaire and a major property magnate. You see, if you see his house now, I mean, it's one of the basically stately homes of England. I mean, he's become an immensely rich man, and he still seems to exercise a huge amount of influence within the British Labour Party. Just talking about, you know, the parallels between Hillary Clinton and Tony Blair, there's another parallel between Bernie Sanders and Jeremy Corbyn, is that neither of them proved remotely strong enough or capable enough or clever enough or competent enough to take on these machines. I mean, just as Bernie Sanders folded, so in the end did Jeremy Corbyn. I mean, you know, he had this nest of vipers, if you like, working against him within his own party. And you have to read some of those emails to understand how awful they absolutely were. And he remained their leader, and he didn't clear these people out. I mean, he had his own swamp, and he didn't do anything about it. So, I mean, I have to say this. If you're so weak and so ineffectual, you deserve to lose.
Yeah. Interesting parallels, huh?
It's extraordinary parallels. I mean, you know, I can't say this enough times. Niceness doesn't get you anywhere in politics. And, I don't know how nice Bernie Sanders is. I've heard from various people who know Jeremy Corbyn that he is actually a nice person. But niceness is just weakness in this instance. I mean, when you're up against people like Clinton and Blair, you can't afford to be nice. You have to be strong. And Jeremy Corbyn just wasn't strong.
Yeah, these guys are, for lack of, I mean, they're killers.
And
I say that in every aspect of the word. I mean,
they are killers, and they play to win. And they play to win ruthlessly, and they take no prisoners. And as I said, if you try and appease them, if you try and work with them, then as I said, they will destroy you. They will eat you alive. And that's exactly what happened with Bernie Sanders in the United States, and it's exactly what's happened with Jeremy Corbyn in Britain. It is absolutely striking, by the way, and this isn't something we talked about, that Blair is using the ongoing corona crisis in Britain to get back into the public profile. He's all over the place at the moment here. He's appearing on television. He's writing articles in newspapers. He's coming up with all sorts of elaborate and unrealizable schemes to test everybody. He is the person who is clearly projecting himself as the person who knows what to do and whose advice we should all look to and follow, in a way that strongly suggests that he is the true leader of the Labour Party again.
So much like Hillary Clinton, who has the media in her pocket, Blair has the
media in his pocket. Blair has the British media in his pocket, particularly newspapers like The Guardian, which are, you know, supposedly the left-wing newspapers, but they clearly are there to do his bidding. And they clearly follow his line. And you can see it all the time. And it's astonishing, as I said, that their opponents within the Labour Party, people like Bernie Sanders and Jeremy Corbyn, never organised a proper resistance to it.
Incredible. What were the wars that Blair started? Was he Prime Minister during Serbia and Yugoslavia?
Oh, absolutely. He was the key. He was fervid supporter of the war against Yugoslavia. He was, of course, heavily involved in Afghanistan, in Iraq. All of those wars were him. I mean, you know, Bill Clinton, and then he and George Bush were in it absolutely up to their ears. I mean, Blair has got, I'm going to say bluntly, blood on his hands, and has shown no remorse or concern about it. He's never really admitted that he made any kind of mistake. In that, he's exactly like Hillary Clinton.
All right. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. All right. Let's get to our video on Flynn. Mm-hmm. Another good story. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Alexander.